that he's the one who's in the center control of their lives, okay? And I don't want to get into labels, okay? Because there's a lot of groups today that claim that they believe in God, but when the push comes to shove, he's not in the center of their decisions. And they use their opinions instead of the Word of God for what they're going to follow and why they follow it. So let's don't get into labels, but clearly, every one of us in here should know the difference between someone who says they believe in God and someone who's using God as an excuse to get to say what they want. Let's just look at politics, the right and the left. Everybody's putting God in the middle of something, but there's hate all over it, and that is not God. Okay? So here's Cain, and briefly what happened was, Cain comes in, he's the firstborn of Adam and Eve, and then he has a brother, a younger brother, Abel. Cain tilled the ground, he was a good groundskeeper. Remember, they're kicked out of the garden, so now they got to work. And Abel is a great hunter, okay? And he works with animals. So when it comes time to sacrifice, because Jesus hadn't been born yet, there's not a sacrifice, but God's already told them you're going to have a lamb. God always said you had to have the lamb. You listening? Because that was prophetic. So they come in, and Abel comes in, and he brings his spotless lamb, and he's, you know, bringing it to the Lord, and the Lord accepted it. Then Cain comes in, and Cain brings the best fruit. Doesn't say he brought rotten fruit, said he brought the best, but God did not accept it. So the favor of God did not rest on Cain, but it did rest on Abel. And that made Cain really mad. And here's what we see that happened. First thing is, you got to remember, he just wanted God to do it his way. God already told him how to do it, right? God already said, here's what's acceptable. And here he walks in with a bunch of the best fruit. Now, I find that there's people that just don't want conflict, and they'll just take whatever people bring and say, oh, well, that's okay, right? You know, that's kind of a thing now. Just don't hurt anybody's feelings. Well, no. Why do we have to tell them the truth? Because they're not going to walk in favor and fellowship if they walk outside of what God has said. Because we need Jesus. We need the Lamb. We need the blood to redeem us. So here's Cain, and he's just like, I heard what you said, but this is going to be good enough for you because it's the best of what I got. Right? He wants to do it his way. Then the second thing that I see is he denies the redemption God's way. And, oh, this, we're all like this sometimes. Really, we are. That's why I thank God for mercy and grace. But he comes in, and instead of needing a lamb, he said, I'm going to bring you the best of my works. Not what I need to sacrifice. I'm going to bring you my good works. And that's not what God wants. The third thing is, he didn't come in faith. He didn't bring the lamb like God said, so that means he didn't have faith in what God said. And Cain did not believe. He really thought he could do better than what God said. I don't understand why people... And, you know, I do it too. You get caught up in your emotions. You get caught up in passions. And all of a sudden, besides being led by still waters like a shepherd, you're driven like a cattle driver to make it work, do something quick. And before you know it, you've bypassed God. And we thought, well, you know, I can just do this better. But here's what happened. Cain got upset because Abel was blessed and he wasn't. And he said, well, you know, this isn't fair. You hearing this anywhere today? Well, that's not fair. Every immature child, every immature, and I'm going to use that word, child that I've ever dealt with or birthed or whatever, always would come, well, that's not fair. That's not fair. And I knew right away when they started in with that's not fair where we were headed because that's the spirit of Cain. And here's what happened. Cain came in. And he was upset because God didn't bless him. And he said, well, you know, God blessed his and he didn't bless mine. If you had an employer and you go to this employer and Glenn and I were just sharing before, he had given this man instruction that a certain piece of equipment had to be put horizontal. Talked about it. gave him a diagram for it. He comes back today, and the equipment is put vertical. Okay? So let's just say that there were two men. One did it horizontal, and one did it vertical. Is it fair for Glenn to go in and say to the one who did it vertical, you're wrong? Is it? He's given him instruction. He's given him a diagram. So you would say, you know, if you're an HR person in human resources, well, you know, you're going to get written up because now you've cost the company. And nobody would think anything about it. And yet here's God with the written word and the spoken word telling us things that are going to prosper us and things that aren't. And yet because we're not getting written up, we just think, well, it doesn't matter. But what you're missing is it matters for you in your fellowship and in your relationship with Him, because you can't be in rebellion to God and welcome Him into your prayer life because you still think you know better. So this is where I really see grace and mercy. Even in this rebellious place where Cain's decided he knows more, and you can read this for yourself, I think it's like verse 8 or 9. God comes in and he says to him, hey, Cain, do the right thing. Come back and do the right thing and make it right. And then you'll be blessed. But you know what? That place of him had already had that seed of anger placed in him of injustice. And the injustice had brought about a hostility. Because instead of taking responsibility, he was birthing hostility. And hostility was directed at God because he didn't do what God wanted him to do. Man, I don't know about you guys, but when I read these stories, I'm like, God, thank you for truth that keeps me close to you and not operating in me. He comes in, and then the hostility becomes hate. Hate is a powerful thing, guys. Don't make light of it. It's not okay to hate. And, you know, I tell Steve, I don't get this. I don't understand why in today's society I can't have an opinion about something or I'm a hater, but somebody else can have that opinion about me because of my belief in Christ, and it's perfectly okay. I don't get it. And he's like, we're never going to get it because it's a sign of the times. But there's a hostility because people don't want God responsibility, so they need you to be wrong so they can be right, because it's not under the blood, it's by works. So he comes in, and the hate, you know, is just, he's bitter. He goes out, he sees his brother, and he takes him out and he kills him. Hatred is always going to bring about murder. Whether it's in your heart, it's in your words, or it's in your physical actions. Hate will always bring death, but remember this. The greatest death hate brings is to you, because it's a form where it separates you from God. Hate kills, and it takes us away from the place of God's presence and refreshing. And I just want to say this. Don't go the way of Cain. Don't go the way of Cain with your spouse. I don't care what's happened. Guys, if it's toxic, if it's lethal, absolutely take a break. But take a break with the purpose to get whole. Don't come in and let that hostility and anger and bitterness come in between you and an employer, or between you and a parent, or between you and anybody. Because the person it's going to hurt is you. But here's grace and mercy. And even after grace and mercy, God told Cain what to do, but he was too bitter to get better. There's a quote from Teddy Roosevelt, and he says, complaining about a problem without posing a solution is called whining. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot more people who would rather be going with God and whining than going with God and dining. And I don't want to be a whiner. So here's the second thing. He talks about Balaam. Well, we know that 2 Peter talks about the way of Balaam, and that really means that he was coveting. He became idolatrous. Even though he was consulting God, he was looking for a way out because he wanted to hire out his giftings. Jude now is talking about the error of Balaam, which we're going to look at. And Revelation talks about the doctrine of Balaam, where people really get involved with money and things, and it becomes a doctrine and a means to an end instead of a lifestyle. Money becomes the goal. So Balaam, this is in Numbers chapter 22, if those of you want to go back and read it. But basically, here's what happened. Balaam is a prophet of God, and in the Bible, he's written these beautiful prophecies, so we know that he had a relationship with God. That's the thing you got to remember. In all three of these individuals that Jude is pointing out, they had a relationship with God. And some people go, well, you know, how could Cain be the firstborn and end up that way? How could Balaam be a prophet and end up this way? How could Korah be led out of Israel, you know, and see the miracles and still turn? It's because, guys, there's sin in the world and we're tempted. And Jude is coming in and saying, this apostasy is among us. It wasn't just these individuals. He talked about the groups, but now he's saying, putting a name to it. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at this not to condemn myself, but just like I read information on health, and I'm like, man, I don't want those symptoms. I don't want these symptoms either. I read 2 days ago, I was reading about all the symptoms of if you're B12 deficient, and there was like 15 of them, and I had like 8 of them, and I'm like, So I'm telling you what I did. I went out and I got B12, the liquid, and I'm putting it under my tongue, and I'm going to, you know, get better. I want all these things. And I'm doing that, guys, because I want to hear things that are going to better me, because what we're hearing are things that are get you to be in agreement with people. But hear me clearly. Hear me clearly. Our voice may become less and less agreed with, but it doesn't make you wrong. And because a majority is getting more and more vocal, doesn't make them right. My guide is the word of God, and this is where Balaam missed it. He knew the word, he was a prophet, and he goes out, and the children of Israel are getting ready to go in the promised land, and there's like 3 million of them coming strong. So Balak is the king of the Moabites. Remember another famous Moabite you're going to read about who gets in the lineage of Jesus? Anybody? Ruth. Yes. So this is this nation. They're a godless nation, but they recognized and could not deny the favor and the power of God on the children of Israel. And you know what I think really burns up most people about God? Is that he's merciful and he's gracious to people even when we fail, because their God isn't. So he recognized the power of God. He wasn't saying it wasn't there. He just wanted to avert him. So he goes and he calls Balaam, who's the prophet, and says, hey, listen, you know, I want you to go and, you know, tell me how to get rid of these people, because they're going to be like locusts once they come in here. They're just going to take over. 3 million. Okay, could you imagine 3 million people coming into the Fort Worth, Haltom City, North Richland Hills area? Yeah, it would be like locusts. All our supplies would be gone. It would happen. So he comes into Balaam and he goes, I want you to take care of this. And Balaam says, okay, I'll go to the Lord. I'll go to God and ask him. So he goes to God and he's like, hey, you know, this guy wants me to go in here and pronounce a curse on the children of Israel. God's like, no. So he's like, okay. So he goes back and says, I can't do it. So Balak thinks he's going to go after our weakness. The enemy will always go after your weakness. And instead of being frustrated by it, I just say, praise God for it, because it's shining a light on somewhere I need to grow. I mean, really, don't get down on why do I keep, just say, God, there's something in here you're wanting me to learn. I want to grow over this. I know there's something else I have. But God, help me to grow in this area. And he will. And graciously, like he did Cain. And graciously, like he's going to do to Balaam. Just like, well, you're a vile man. Why are you even asking me? He's like, no, son, just say no. So he goes back and he tells Balak no. So Balak says, you know what I'll do? I'll send some guys out maybe to tempt him with some, you know, finer things that he doesn't have as a prophet. So he goes out and he sends the men of prestige, you know, because that's kind of really special. I read where the Japanese, this is not a joke, the Japanese are hiring actors that are famous to go and befriend people with money and lead them to their businesses because it's prestigious to know these actors. And so they go and they have meals with them, and then they'll say, by the way, you should do your business with so-and-so. They're my friends, right? This is the same kind of thing. So he sends like the governors or the people who are head of the province to, you know, smooth his ego. So he goes in and he goes, well, you know what? Let me go ask God again. Maybe God will change his mind. So he goes back and he goes in and he goes out before and he opens his mouth to curse the children of Israel, and all that comes out is blessing, 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 blessing. This should be a message to you and to me that no enemy can speak over you, because God can turn whatever they say to a blessing. If the enemy comes after you with accusation, you need to listen to me. God in the heavenlies will turn that as a blessing to you when you stand and let God take care of it. Because he will. Because he calls you beloved. He calls you his. And you wouldn't let anybody mess with your kids, and he ain't messing with nobody messing with you. So he goes in, and now the king's like, what? What? So Balak sends more people to Balaam, and he's like, we're so obvious. We are so obvious. And he's like, oh, even if you gave me a house full of gold and silver, I couldn't do what you're asking. Hint, hint. You know? That's why I tell Steve, look, don't be bringing me any fresh flowers. They're going to die. Bring me some green stuff. Mama can get the shoes she wants. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Don't be getting me nothing that's going to die. Y'all, if that's a terrible thing I'm telling you, I'm just confessing it to you. I'm like, just whatever you would have spent on that, because I can't abide the cost of flowers and they just die. Now, maybe that means something to y'all, and good for you, and you go ahead and you have your crystal face and you tell your man to fill it. But my man put the green on the table, honey, going shopping. Anyway, but yeah, so he's hinting, you know. Now, that's what I do. You know, I'll say, I went to Steinmart, and I have a 50% off the lowest price coupon, and online I saw this. He's like, go ahead and get it. And I'm like, yes. See, because so that's what Balaam did. Well, even if you gave me a house full of gold and silver. So guess what they offer him? House full of gold and silver. So here's where Balaam comes. The first thing is, he's still seeking God, but he's got impure motives. Listen, I'm not pointing a finger at him. I'm telling you, I believe everybody in this room at one time or another has gone to God to get a blessing instead of to get truth. Just bless what I'm doing. I want permission. I don't want a plan. I just want some permission. And the second thing is he believed he could outsmart God. So now that God has told him no, now that he can't even open his mouth and curse him, because he wants the gold, he goes in and he says, let me think about this. The law says, okay, let's bring this in. If they come out there and they fornicate, they have adultery, they have these outward relationships, here's what you do, Balak. You get your pretty women, and you get the myrrh, and you get the pomegranate juice rolling. And you get these women to stroll out in front of these Israeli men looking their best. And then you ask them to invite them back to the tent and welcome them in to these smell of these good spices, and you let them have sex with them, and then after they're all happy and fulfilled and thinking, I'm the man, you let them introduce these idols and say, oh, this is so-and-so, my idol, and tell them about it. And all their guard will be down, then God will be mad at them and God will curse them. Here's the thing. We don't recognize that God is a God of justice. Amen. And some of us want to go by the law to trick other people. You see it in politics every day. They didn't follow the letter of the law. They're horrible, terrible people. Well, I want to tell you something, and this may shock you. I have prayed for every American president there ever was. Do I agree with all of them? No. Should I call if they're wrong or in sin? Should I call that for what it is, or just say, oh, well, you know, God bless them. No, I say that's not right, but I pray for them more than I criticize them, because there is a line of authority. And I want to tell you something. We need to recognize that when people are in authority over us, they have a favor of God on them, because God has said it will be. Be grateful for your place of authority. Don't let somebody challenge you, but don't call wonderful bad, and don't call bad wonderful. So he comes in, and he realizes now that God doesn't come in and do what he thinks God's going to do. You know why? Because there's still grace and mercy through the justice system of God. And when you're with people, and I've just prayed over my teens when I knew that something was wrong. I knew that person was the wrong influence. But you know, there's times when God will just say to you out of wisdom, keep your mouth closed. Because if you go after it, they're going to pursue it harder. Be quiet. Now, you know, however it goes, y'all, this problem with being somewhere, you know, quarter of a century. But here's the problem. Y'all all going to know what I'm talking about. But here we go. Charity was involved with this guy, and he had asked her to marry him, and we went along with it. The Lord kept saying, don't you say anything, don't you say anything, don't you say anything. And it was hard for me to sit on my hands, and it was twice as hard for me to try to sit on Steve's hands. And we were just like, I was like, Steve, I'm telling you, God has said, if we go after this with the big no, she's going to go after it with all the fervor she's got in her. And the Lord said to me, here's what you do, because I was like, give me the plan. And he said, you invite him over every time. Don't you let her go one day without having to see him continually. And she's going to recognize what it is, and she's going to get tired of him. And I was like, but God, that means I have to. He's like, yeah, get on it. So sure enough, I'm like, hey, want to come over? Hey, no, she's not bored. Come on over. Let's all watch a movie. It was me. And after a while, she was like, you know, is he getting on your nerves, Mom? Because he's kind of getting on mine. I'm like, really? I don't know. Just, you know, blowing it off. And God's like, who the man? Who the man? I'm like, you the man. You the man. Right? Because there's times where you have to know. But if I'd have gone in with, look, in my spirit, I feel like it'd have been, no, because my spirit knows more. So here's that thing, guys. It's in all of us. Here's what happens. You have to listen to the Spirit of God to tell you, because you and I aren't going to fix people. So Balaam wasn't going to be fixed. There wasn't anybody to tell him. You know why? Because you let God deal with people and he'll take care of it. And once again, here's grace and mercy. So Balaam's made up his mind. He's going, you know, he's going to do this deed, and he heads off on his faithful donkey. And the Bible tells us this donkey was faithful. Now, I'm not going to do King James. I'll leave that up to David Smith and Steve Van Zandt to do King James. He was on a donkey. So he's on the donkey, and the donkey's going through this little narrow pass, and he reaches over, keep listening with spiritual ears, stay with me, and he crushes Balaam's foot. So when you're in a narrow place and you're trying to include God to go with you to your place where you know you're going to do the wrong thing, get ready for your walk to be affected. So he goes in and he's like mad. He's like whipping this, you know, donkey, like, you know, you worthless piece of nothing. And the donkey turns around and says to him, can't you see the angel with the sword drawn in front of us? Don't you think that's mercy and grace to have a donkey tell you what you can't see? Listen, y'all are going to get a kick out of this. There's times when I say sometimes to things that happen to me with people that, you know, don't even know the Lord, and they'll say something, and I know it's God, and I'll go, God, thank you for that donkey. Because I'm telling you, there are donkeys in your life. And the donkey's like, hey, I've been faithful to you. Why would you treat me like this? And he's missing the point that the donkey's talking, because he's so led by greed. You know what greed is? Greed is never satisfied. It always wants more. But in this case, greed is an earthly thing. It's something that the world, you're not going to have these things in heaven. Guys, there's not going to be like diamond and gold grills y'all going to be smiling with in heaven. There's not going to be like no Rolex with, you know, pave diamonds. It's irrelevant. You're not going to pull up in a Hummer, you know. It's irrelevant. We're wasting our time on these things, and that's what happened to Balaam. He got caught up in prestige and in prominence and in the provision of the world. And here comes God, just still being faithful, still giving him mercy. So he wanted to impress that group, and God put up a roadblock out of grace and mercy. And I'm asking you to listen tonight with spiritual ears and give God some credit. Are there times where you've had a spiritual roadblock and you're just so mad at the donkey and God's protecting you from something because we're so bent on the things of the world? Well, that was Balaam's deal. So he wanted both worlds. He wanted to be greedy, but he wanted God to bless it. The Bible's clear. You have to love one and hate the other. There's not lukewarm love and all the way in passionate love. Because what did he say do if we're lukewarm? Y'all know that one, so spit it out. So there you go. We're going to get rid of that. Balak is wanting God's approval from Balaam. Balak, the king, wants approval from God for Balaam to do this. But Balak and Balaam, neither one, want to submit to God. So I want you to see what's happening. When we want something from God, but we don't want to give anything to God, you're in rebellion. Because his word is, when you give this to me, I'll take care of you. But it goes back to Cain. Do you want hostility or responsibility? Well, God didn't do this for me. Which brings us to number 3, and that's Korah. And this is in number 16. Here's what happened. Korah is with the children of Israel. And one day he just woke up. And, you know, I've already touched on this. Guys, there's no leader who's going to do everything right. Okay? Quit looking for that. You know, it's like the minute one of these coaches does something wrong, they want to crucify him and get a whole new coach in, you know, and I'm just like, dude, let the guy finish his job, do it at the end, stop this, but, you know, hey, get rid of him, you know, he did one thing wrong, bam, you're out. I want to tell you something. I think there's more to be said in marriages and in business relationships that are God-centered if we love somebody who screwed up and bring them back to wholeness. I believe there's so much more loyalty than there is for people who just toss you aside. And I think that the Rangers, Ron Washington, is a perfect example of what somebody who's fallen and somebody sees value in them, Josh Hamilton, all these people that were, and somebody pulls them in and says, we'll help you. Look what they can produce. Doesn't mean they end up there, but if somebody gives them the chance and it's God-centered. So here comes Korah, and he's rebelling against Moses' authority. Wherever God has put you in authority, you let him deal with the people that rebel against you. Now, just take this, girls, don't be no hating on me tonight. I know that wasn't correct English. I meant it on purpose. Don't be no hating on me. That's a double negative. It's bad. Forgive me. But men, you are to be the head of your home. And if you are not given the place as the head of the home, you don't have to deal with that. God will deal with that. You stay and do what God says and love and be respectful and responsible, and God's going to take care of you. Amen. Don't be working like those did, you know, with Balaam and Balak, because here's what happened for you who aren't married in here. Y'all know the men. Don't be raising no hand, y'all men in here who are not married yet. But here's the thing. Don't get mixed with people who don't believe in God the way you do. That's what causes so many problems. Oh, she's talking about race. She's talking about sex. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the Bible. You want people who are going to believe the Bible the way you believe it. He calls it unequally yoked, because if it doesn't happen, later on the enemy will use that for you to have a device to say, I never should have married them. They don't believe like I do. Ding, ding, ding. You knew it before. Don't do it. Don't do it. All the time I hear it. Just let me save you that heartache. So Korah comes in and he's like, hey, I'm going to disqualify Moses by being a loudmouth, and I'm going to say some of the rumors and the grumblings I've heard, but I'm going to make it loud so I can rally those discontented ones, and then I'm going to be promoted. There are people who believe they can disqualify the Word of God in your life by pointing out your flaws. Listen. By pointing out your flaws for why you're disqualified for service. Whether it's a husband, whether it's a wife, because a wife has authority, whether it's a mother or a father, whether it's an employer, whether it's a friend, whether it's a pastor, whatever the situation, if God's put you there, people are going to challenge your place of authority out of jealousy and out of discontent. You just let God handle it. You keep your hands clean. Because I'm going to tell you, when God's in the kitchen cooking, he don't want no dirty hands up in there. Let him do the cooking. You're not going to be disqualified, but notice that the people who want to get something started always want a group behind them, and it's always the disgruntled ones. Think about what I'm telling you. In every situation, you can think about it. Somebody's disgruntled, so we amplify that voice. But he tried to walk in authority he didn't have. Korah comes in and challenges Moses, the one that God has put in place. And I think there's a message in this for why are we challenging people that God has put in authority over us? He didn't put you in that place to be a Korah. He put you in that place to be a deliverer and to lead some people out. But more people want to be Korah than Moses. He walked in authority he didn't have. And instead of telling what God says, he wanted to tell what the people would say. He wanted to be able to validate his rebellion. I don't care how many people agree with you and me. If we're wrong, we're wrong. God forgive us and get us on the right path. But what happened was the root of all this was envy. Because he wanted the position. Because he said, are you hearing that today? I've got just as much. Ding, ding, ding. Are you hearing that today? I've got just as much a right. But there are certain places where you've been put in a position of leadership and authority, and that's final. Unless God moves it. So instead of griping and whining and complaining, how about we start praying and believing and trusting God that if I'm in this mess, he's going to bless me because I'm staying faithful instead of griping and complaining. Don't be fooled by people. You need to know what you believe, because you and I are never going to override God's authority in our life. And that authority's in the Word, and some things he says, stay away from this. Does that mean if you think you should? No. If you tell your kids, don't you go out. I don't want to know you've been in any of them meth houses. Is that like open to holidays? No. You mean no, not just because you have the authority, but because you're trying to save and protect. How much better is God? I'm not going to override God's authority, but here's what happened. Mercy and grace tried to give him the provision to come out of that, but he didn't. And so God went in. He said, here's how this is going to roll. Korah, I'm not going to let him. All those people that are griping, the ground's going to open up and it's going to swallow you, because Korah wanted the duty of a priest, and a priest, listen still with spiritual ears, comes through the bloodline. That's why all of us can be kings and priests today because of Jesus. But at this point, it had to be through the tribe of Levi. Well, I'm as good as they are. Bring me in. It's not about my good works. It's about the blood. It's about Him. That's what it's about. Our deepest passions come from our lowest wounds and our highest joys. That's where my passion is. If I've really been wounded in heart, I can tell you, I am passionate. I am passionate about bullying. You've been wounded, saw your kids wounded, you become passionate about it. In the same token, you know, man, I just think it's so great to be with grandkids and to just pop popcorn and watch certain movies and listen to them giggle. I just get such a kick out of that. So I'm passionate about, we're going to have this fun time together. Come on over here and sit in my lap. Y'all want M&Ms in your, what? That can be so simple to you. And I realize it's a simple illustration, but our highest joys, that's where my passion is. So here's the thing about passion. Where are my experiences? Where am I drawing my joy from? What am I doing with those wounds? Am I letting them lead me closer to the Lord? Because Jude comes in and he's given us three things that we need to look out for. Anger, which leads to hatred and murder. He tells us to look out for greed. And he tells us to look out for envy, wanting position even. It's not even the possessions like Balaam, but the position is what Korah was after. Why do you think it's those three things? Why do you think he's pointing those out? I'll tell you why I think. Because I think all of us in this room just say, oh, well, you know, anger, bitterness, you know, whatever. But man, these are the worst things. And he's letting you know everybody in this room is going to be tempted by these things. Watch out for them. Because once you get in agreement with him, you'll believe in God, but you'll believe you can still do what you want. He doesn't have to be the center of your decision. And when you do that, that kills your love relationship. It kills your place of safety. Because God's this way. If you want to do it, go ahead. If you want me to do it, trust me. But he don't do it both ways. Because it comes through the blood. Wherever God has you, guys, is the best place you can be. Can you just, I think it's up there. Just say it after me. Wherever God has you is the best place you can be. Now say it and let it get in your heart. You know, hey, wherever God has me is the best place I can be. Oh, so you had me in the middle of this mess. Why? Because he trusts you. You got me in the middle of this mess. Why? Because you're going to shine. You got me in the middle of this mess. Why? Because I am sowing faithfulness in you. And when the promotion comes, you aren't going to be tempted by these little things that would ruin the place I'm going to promote you to. And that is a word I'm praying over so many of our kids in high school and college age kids right now. Because I feel like they're in these decisions where the enemy's wanting to get them trapped up in something now. So that when the promotion time comes, that'll fall back and come back to take away where God's leading them. And I'm saying no to it now. And I'm believing no to it now for them. And I'm believing for you that no matter where God takes you, you're not going to let somebody discount who you are because of what you did. Because he's the final say. He's the final say. This was hilarious to me. I was reading quotes from former presidents, and I got in on Theodore Roosevelt, who did the other one. This, I laughed so hard. He said, if you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a month. Well, you know, I'm just thinking, yeah. And the truth is, for those of us who are believers, I had a friend who used to say this, Ann Wills. She came here a long time ago for a ladies' function, but she used to say, y'all, I got bruises from getting kicked off the throne so often. And it's the same thing. Let God do his work, and don't let these doubts and fears come up in you. There was an American who was born in Mexico, and he became a great chemist, and he won all these prizes, and he helped with all these intricate things. And he was born in 1900, and he died on Charity's birthday, December 26, 1981. But he was a brilliant man, but he made this statement. And think of it, a scientist, a chemist. I love it, like Albert Einstein, he used everything to prove God, not to disprove him. And he said, "What we all need in our day of testing is a spiritual preparation. It is to have developed faith in Jesus Christ so powerful that we can pass the test of life upon which everything for us is us eternally depends." Sorry. And that test is part of the purpose God has for us in this creation. And that was from Henry Ewing. So while there's three groups, and now he's brought us down to the three individuals, next week we're going to study the three exhortations. The three good things are coming. Jude's going to bring them out to us. But I just want to say this to you. Hang in there and keep believing God. Just stay faithful. And here's the thing. When we fished, I haven't fished in a long time, we would bring the fish in, and they would just flop and flop and flop in the boat. And we'd, you know, catch and release a lot. And we'd catch, just enough to take home to eat. My mom, we had to clean them and all that stuff. But we never kept more than what we needed. But it was always interesting to me, the ones that fought the hardest, if they'd have just waited and saved their energy, they'd gone back, just like the ones that laid there and just like, you know what? It's either it or it's not. I don't want to be floundering around wasting energy. God, just redeem me. God, just redeem me. And I'm telling you guys, there's enough power in this room for us to believe for people who are floundering right now under the weight of mental oppression. You're not going to fix them. But when I link up to the Spirit of God, it's like those little connectors I see in electrical things. Well, this doesn't fit there and that doesn't fit there. Oh, look, these two make it together. Let's stand in and believe for people who are struggling that God will set them free instead of judging them. Because they can't do what we do. Because I'm guaranteeing you, there's something you can't do that you're going to need prayer with. And that segues me to this. Tomorrow night at 6:30, we're having prayer in here. And I just want to encourage you to come. And there's not going to be, Dwayne's in charge of it. However he leads it, he leads it. But I want to tell you something. There's nothing wrong with coming in and saying, "Could you pray for me? Hey, at the end of this, could we pray?" If we're all just praying separately, there's prayer lists we mail out, we email. If you're not on that list, get on it. Pray for one another because God is doing mighty things. And we want to stay in agreement with that, okay? Will you stand with me tonight? Wherever God has you is the best place you can be. And if you can keep remembering that and just say that to the enemy, "Hey, wherever he's got me is the best place." You are aligning yourself with God, showing and submitting to God, and you're not going to get tripped up in this whining and complaining thing. It's not what is behind us. I think Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, and it's not what is behind us nor what lies ahead of us, but it's what's inside of us. Quit looking around. Take your heart and lift it up, and let's just trust God. Father, tonight we trust you. Those, God, who are being bombarded, who are standing in places, God, feeling stretched and pulled, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I ask you to move by the power that was released on the cross. You said that the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is in me. God, resurrect me. These dead places, God. Let me live in faith to see you move, God. Lord, we believe you. I'm believing and standing in tonight, God, for my brothers and sisters, God, who are struggling. God, I believe tonight that the enemy must cease and desist because his lies we resist and we stand in agreement with the power of God. Nothing is impossible to you, Lord. And I believe, but help my unbelief. And thank you, God, for the provision of mercy and grace that I can say that to you and you'll move in and help me and not move away from me. Guys, get honest tonight with the Lord. Because when you're honest with Him, He can work with that. Lord, I just thank you tonight. We seal every word by the power of the Spirit to bring life. God, speak over Shelley and all those children at camp, over Josh, God, as leaders. Protect them, God, from the heat, those who are working in it, God, from the elderly, Lord. And let there be, God, a break in this weather, because we're asking you for it. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Woo. Now, don't forget.